And welcome back. The chancellor at the University of Missouri-Columbia has been on the job for 18 months, a time in which Arbo and Lofton has had to confront many of the key challenges facing all institutions of higher learning, among them diversity issues, health care insurance for grad students, and campus sex abuse. He arrived on campus when the university was in the midst of national publicity after student Sasha Menyukori committed suicide months after she may have been sexually abused. St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Dale Singer talked with Chancellor Lofton about this and other things in a recent interview, and he began by asking how Chancellor Lofton would characterize Mizzou students.
They have strong values. They're very service-focused. We have over 750 organizations on campus that are student-led, and the vast majority are service-focused. They raise money or they perform services to help other people. And that's pretty incredible. You don't find that at a university oftentimes. You find some, but the magnitude of it at Mizzou and the magnitude at Texas A&M were very high. And that's a very attractive thing to find young people not worried about themselves, but trying to do things for others.
When you got to campus, there were a lot of issues that came up that were not pre-existing, particularly Title IX type of things. Talk about how you've handled that and what changes have been made since you got there.
Well, the Sasha Menyukori story broke the weekend before I became chancellor officially. So I was actually on campus getting settled, basically, and this thing happened. Steve Owens was serving as the interim chancellor, and he was on a hunting trip in a place with no cell coverage. And so there was kind of a void of leadership, shall we say, right there. President Wolf, this is the president, was engaged on that situation. He was concerned about it and made a decision that day to begin moving the entire system to a better place in terms of how we address Title IX concerns. Since then, we've done many things. At Mizzou particularly, we have hired a extraordinary individual, Ellen Eardley, as our Title IX administrator. She succeeds Linda Bennett, who was our first full-time administrator that I appointed when I became chancellor. And we have done a lot in terms of training all of our employees, faculty, and staff to be reporters of any events they may see. We have produced, I think, one of the best websites in the country for Title IX reporting and access information. We put in place a number of programs to both raise awareness and prepare our students to be better able to deal with those kinds of issues, especially reporting, intervention, and obviously support after the fact. We've strengthened our counseling programs. We've done a lot at the university over the last year plus to be able to totally, I think, take a step to the next level, if you will, in terms of our ability to both deal with the reporting, but also the actual process, if you will. We begin after a report occurs to investigate and deal with the individuals who may be involved, both in a positive way for support, but also in terms of student conduct.
How do you change the culture on campus concerning sexual assault, even before it can get to the reporting stage?
Well, there are several things you can do. For example, Dale, we are very interested in the Green Dot program. The Green Dot program is a program which really says, I'm going to not be an idle bystander. I'm going to watch, and if I see inappropriate behavior, I'm going to intervene. That's not exactly human nature. Most of us walk on by. We don't necessarily stop and think, should I now say something? Should I now try to stop something from happening that I see happening, which is not appropriate? That's not our tendency. So we've really pushed hard on that. Our students have stepped up to it. We have a program called Enough is Enough that's totally student-driven. Our student organization led that effort, and it's a very grassroots approach to saying we're tired of this continuing on our college campus. Let's change the culture. I can't hire enough people as a chancellor to enforce things from a top-down perspective. This has to be solved by the students themselves. That's critical. And so educating them and encouraging them to be responsive and responsible is our number one priority.
Some campuses have gone so far as to have, you know, step by step, okay, we can go beyond this step, now we can go beyond this step, we can go beyond this step in intimate situations. Is Mizzou going to go that route?
We are very concerned about what yes and no means, like many campuses are. I believe we have, again, a lot of training in place right now. We've mandated every student who entered this campus this year as a freshman, go through a training program. They won't be able to get their registration completed until it's done. And that's a big step for us, never done before. So now we have everyone exposed to the same criteria, the same discussions about what their responsibilities are and what the processes are that are available to them to report and also to be able to achieve counseling, support, other kinds of things they may need if they have any issues of this type occurring to them personally.
I guess it's too early for you to see any results of these programs, but what do you sense?
Well, I'll say this, and I'll say it very, very cautiously, and not in a way that I hope is mistaken. We actually have more reports today than we had before. That's not so much a reflection of more activity than before. It's the fact we have a better way for people to know they can report these events and they'll be handled well. We have a better way to handle them in terms of privacy, in terms of support structures than ever before. That's something that's encouraged people to do the right thing, which is to say, this was not a right thing that happened to me, and to come forward and make that statement in the right way to the right people and have it handled. That was not always the way things were before.
I see that hard liquor is going to be barred in fraternity houses on campus. I assume that is a goal to try to prevent some sort of sexual misconduct as well?
Well, I'll just give you my data points. If you look at the last few years of sexual assault cases that have come into student conduct, almost all have involved alcohol abuse by both parties, both the victim and the perpetrator. So you draw your own conclusions from that. I mean, it is what it is. That's what you see. Alcohol plays a role. And underage drinking is especially a problem at any college campus. Mizzou is not free from that. We worked hard to not only teach people about the results of alcohol abuse, we also worked very hard to make sure we have the right people in place. As you may know, Missouri several years ago, through a budget reduction process, eliminated the plainclothes people who used to come into bars and check to make sure that IDs were inspected, things like that. Well, that sort of meant there was nobody looking over anybody's shoulder. So if money's good and the fact I can get an ID from a website for $20 and a picture, no big deal. So that is part of the equation. So just to give you an example, we encourage Columbia PD to be more visible in the bars downtown in Columbia in terms of checking. We also have hired 3 new officers on bicycles who actually patrol the streets between the campus and those bars to really be sure people are safe. If you see someone who's obviously inebriated, you don't want them falling into the street in front of a car. You help them get home. We aren't there to punish people. We're there to educate them about the risks they're putting in place by doing this kind of behavior. And that's gotten some traction, I believe. This part we see here that you mentioned is about the Greek leadership itself. This is not a mandate from me, although I certainly encourage it, but to remove the hard liquor, especially things like vodka, which can be consumed in very large quantities without even knowing it, that has been a big deal. And I think the IFC, the Infrared Council, has looked at this very carefully, and they made the decision to come forward and to tell the houses no more hard liquor in the houses. Beer and wine can be appropriately handled in those accredited houses, but not liquor. And that, to me, is a big step forward, driven by the students themselves, not by me.
Let's talk about a couple of other issues that have been in the news recently. Discuss the situation involving graduate students and health insurance.
Okay. We learned back earlier this year, as of July 1, the Internal Revenue Service promulgated a new regulation which was derived from the Affordable Care Act, which basically said that you can't subsidize employee plans. Employees are supposed to go into other plans. And that was interpreted to include graduate students who at the University of Missouri are not regarded as employees. Our rules and regulations don't label them as employees. They specifically single them out as being not employees, university. But the IRS views them as employees. And so this is where it came from. We and many others began working on this back in the July timeframe, and ultimately some decided that we had to comply without any other alternative being presented. So that was made known to the students on August the 14th, which happened to be the day before the August 15th expiration of last year's insurance and the beginning of the next year's insurance. Normally, university paid the entire premium for all the graduate students who were employed by the university as teaching assistants at that time in the year. And they were told on the 14th it wouldn't happen. After a lot of discussion and concerns about that, I made a decision with support from our system the following week to temporarily stop that from happening, to restore the payment of their insurance premium by the university, and to put in place a group led by one of our deans who's a health policy expert and containing a number of students and a faculty member to really explore how we can best deal with this issue. We just needed time to try to solve a problem in the short period of time we had with no student involvement we felt was inappropriate.
The students threatened to walk out. They threatened a strike. Did that affect your decision?
That was not the reason that I went forward and tried to stop this from happening. It was really a matter of doing the right thing. Again, there was no student involvement in the decision-making process. That was a mistake. I apologize for it. I'm sorry it happened. It shouldn't have happened that way. But that's what did happen. And I felt there's risk involved here in doing this because of the potential for us to be cited to be in violation of this regulatory decision. But I felt we owed it to our students to give them a chance to really be part of the process of finding a permanent solution.
Did you really just find out about all the ferment around it on social media?
I did. I was unaware the announcement went out at noon on Friday the 14th until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I got out of a meeting and began to look at my Twitter account and saw how much was going on there. That was my first awareness of it.
Is that unusual that you wouldn't know about that in advance?
I was surprised, sir. I was not happy.
Access, affordability, and equality. Talk about how those three things relate as far as your campus goes and how you're trying to make sure that the balance stays the way it's supposed to be.
Well, certainly. I just realize this, that the University of Missouri system has four campuses, one right here where I am today, UMSL. We have one in Kansas City. We have the historic campus in Columbia. We have a campus also at Rolla. Those four campuses are part of a system, and they're all different. None of us are exactly the same, which is fine. And so students in Missouri and elsewhere have a choice. They have a choice of which campus they go to. They may also choose to go outside the system to one of the other four-year schools here in Missouri or elsewhere in the country. That happens each and every day as people make their decisions about their future place for higher education. Access, to me, is a very important thing. Access has more than one dimension, though. Part of access is simply financial. Can you afford to go to school? Part of access is also intellectual. Do you have the right preparation to be successful? One of the worst things we can do is admit a student who can't make it. And that's a loss for us and a loss for them, too. So we want to be sure students who come to Mizzou are able to complete their studies there, to retain them. I was very proud, for example, this fall that we saw our retention rate from the freshman to sophomore year increasing by a whole percentage point, which is really, that's a big change really year to year. So we had this year 87.1% of our freshmen from last year came back as sophomores. That's a new record for us, for example, and it puts us among the very best in the state, Truman State being probably at our level or maybe a little better even. So that to us is a very important milestone, which says that the academic access is working well for us. We're doing the right thing regarding admitting students and also giving them the right support structures to be successful, especially in their freshman year when they're just learning the ropes. The other part of it, of course, you said financial, that's already really part of access in my mind. Access means that I can afford to come to school and stay in school. If you ask a student why they don't come back in their second year, the first answer I get will be financial. It costs more than I thought it would. And I wasn't prepared for that. My parents were prepared for that. The number two reason is academic. They didn't do well in their first year. Number three reason is a variety of things like family issues and such that happens to anybody. That's a pretty small number. So you see right away that retention is tied really to money. And it's tied also to my academic success, which I've already talked to. So access to me is really the key. I don't have a triad exactly in my mind. I look at the fact that we have the situation where we want to be sure that students can, in fact, come to Mizzou or any school of their choice and be successful there and be able to afford to go there.
When it comes to affordability, though, the state portion of the support for higher education hasn't exactly been robust lately, and that puts more of a onus on the student. Is that a threat to quality?
I think it's a threat to students. This is not Missouri by itself. Every single state has gone through the same process over the last several years. We've seen nationwide a reduction of the per-student support given to universities by states over time. I don't think that will change. I don't believe we're going to see a turn-up of that overnight, if ever. So I believe we have to understand the new reality is that higher education affordability is going to be tied to other things. The state support is vital to us. It helps us keep the cost under control, but it's not going to be the salvation of the future for our universities. Tuition increases have been used by all of us to make up that gap. That has limits too, doesn't it? I've already talked about access. You don't want to price yourself to a point where only wealthy people can afford to come to your school. So what happens? The third piece of this really has been, at least for the last few decades for us, philanthropy. The private schools like WashU have done that for a long time. Privates have come to that conclusion early in their lives. They have to support themselves by going out and getting donors to provide funding. Publics, because they had great state support for a long time, didn't worry about that a whole lot. Now they do. And so where I've been the last decade, my time is spent many weeks, more than half of it spent on fundraising. That's what we do. So that's part of it. At Mizzou, we think we have a fourth possibility. We have an extraordinarily creative faculty and student population. And we believe that the ideas they come up with, the discoveries they make, oftentimes can have potential in terms of commercial success. So our goal is to be able to support entrepreneurial activities on the part of our faculty and students that allow us to have the ability to draw money from that over time as well. Mizzou right now does very well in licensing much of its technology discoveries, but that's not the better way to do it, in my opinion. We see today the better way to do it is going to be to form joint adventures with outside interests. So if we have a student-faculty group who's made a discovery, let's tie them and the university together with a private organization with capital to establish a new company. Equity belongs to the investor, to the university, to the students and the faculty. And if that company becomes successful, is sold or goes public, your transaction can be in the tens of millions of dollars or more. We have a few examples of that in Mizzou. We want many more. And we think that added to philanthropy will be the best way for us to deal with the future.
How many students do you have on campus from the St. Louis area, and how do you market your campus to them since there's a University of Missouri campus here as well?
Currently, we have about 6,500 St. Louis area students at Mizzou. We have in the city and its surroundings around 55,000 alums. That gives you a sense of the base here, which is sizable. Then if you look at how we recruit, we have a fairly big visibility here because of a couple of things. Again, lots of alums. So many of our applicants are sons and daughters, grandchildren, nephews, nieces of our alums. And so they know about Mizzou very well. They've been taken to Mizzou before. They've come for games, things like that. We reach out specifically here in the city to certain groups. We want to attract groups to Missouri who have great capabilities, so we do reach out here very specifically to high-achieving students who are very competitively sought after by others as well, both inside Missouri and especially outside Missouri. We have a presence here in terms of recruiting that visits high schools. We visit with counselors. We do all the usual things in terms of college fairs, things like that at high schools around the area. But I would say our biggest is simply a sense this is the flagship university of the state of Missouri. My mom and dad went there. I want to go there. My grandparents went there. I want to go there. I have children coming to the campus now who are seventh generation Mizzou grads. Think about that. Their parents, grandparents, and so on back for seven generations have been students. So we have that kind of reach here in St. Louis. But we also target populations here of those who are underserved right now. We specifically want to attract them to Mizzou, and we work hard at that by having physical people on the ground here.
And it doesn't hurt to have big-name basketball, big-name football, does it?
If you want to see some exciting things, the SEC provides it, sir. So we do have an attraction that way, too. The sports focus that Mizzou has had for a long time through the Big 8, now the Big 12 after that, now the SEC, has been attractive for many. People want to be on a campus which has all the pieces. I think UMSL is a fine school. It has a lot of good attributes to it, a lot of good programs, but it's a larger commuter campus. We're residential. And so between the housing on campus, the nearby housing for students around the campus there, people can walk to class. They can walk around. They don't have to drive necessarily. That's helpful. They see a college campus, which is beautiful. Not always so. I think Barbara Ewling, when she was the chancellor, is the one that really can be thanked for making the campus look really great. So we see every day people coming to the campus and saying, wow, this place is really nice. And they feel the welcome. If you walk around the campus there looking like you're a stranger, somebody's going to stop and say, can I help you? Not just tell you, but take you where you want to go. That's nice, too. We have organized tours on campus every day. We've got almost 50 young people who are sophomores and juniors. They are tour guides, and they have one common thing. They are passionate about the University of Missouri. That's very important as well. So we house on campus about 7,000 of our students. Most of those are freshmen. It's well known in the literature that freshmen do better academically if they're on campus their first year. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference after that. So we really want to house mostly freshmen on campus. We have a few hundred beds, up to 1,000 perhaps for others, but that's a key for us. After that, they'll find their own way. We have thousands, of course, in the Greek houses as well.
And I guess it's nice to be able to know that if you say three letters, you're going to get three letters right back, right?
Yes, sir. Z-O-U.
M-I-Z-Z-O-U. I've heard the crowd respond. And if you're getting into trouble in a speech and everything, all I have to do is stop and say those things, and you're automatically right back on track.
Where I used to be, I would use the word howdy. I go into a room now, say M-I-Z, and your attention is now focused very much.
Mizzou Chancellor R. Bowen Lofton speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Dale Singer. Now that the Ferguson Commission has made its many recommendations, the question becomes, where do we go from here? We'll tackle that question next Monday evening at a town hall meeting at Wellspring Church in downtown Ferguson. You are invited to be a part of the audience. Doors open at 6:15, and the conversation begins at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the status of the radioactive waste and underground fire at the landfill at Bridgeton. And then we'll take a look at the veto session in the Missouri legislature that began at noon today. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.